Southern Hospitality. I'm Elizabeth Gordon, and I have my lovely co-hostess with me this morning.
Co-hostess, I like that. I sound like I'm a flight attendant or something. Hello!
And she will be serving us peanuts and drinks later on broadcast.
That's right.
Dana Barrett and Elizabeth Gordon, and you're listening to Southern Hospitality on BusinessRadioX.com, and we've got a fantastic show planned for you today. Joining us in the studio from Thrive Restaurant and Lounge are Trimi Doughty, who is the GM, general manager there, and also Justin Cox, the chef. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hello. It's going well.
It's good to have you here.
Are you guys, like, not morning people?
Well, the hospitality industry is kind of a late night gig, is it not? Or do you find that you're there at the restaurant into the wee hours sometimes?
It's pretty much morning shift tonight.
All day long, 24/7.
He's more of a morning person. I'm more of a night one. So
you're going to be quiet, and we might have to wake you up a few times.
That works.
Okay, throw some cold water on you or something.
So Thrive is right in the center of downtown, right in the middle of all the action over by, like, CNN, right on Marietta Street. Trimi, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background in the restaurant business and how you got to Thrive?
Well, hold on.
Before you start, where are you from?
Southern Europe, Albania, originally.
Okay. We are having, like, great accents today. It's like great accent morning here at Business Radio X, and I'm loving it. Continue. Sorry.
So how I started, I actually, you know, always had a passion for food. Even back home, you know, we had, like, family restaurants. And I started from there. I moved into the States when I was 17 years old.
Okay.
I decided to open a restaurant on my own in suburbs of Atlanta. I run that for about 2 years, and I sold it. That's when I met Jeff Safari.
Where was your place?
That was in the Stone Mountain.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So when I met Jeff Safari, I decided, you know, to start running for him. There was a GM that was leaving, so he brought me in. And I've been there for about 4 years now.
Is that when Thrive opened, or has it been around longer than that?
No, Thrive was open a year before I got there.
I gotcha. So you've turned it into what it is today.
Yes.
Go ahead and take credit. No one here to argue with you.
So let's describe the restaurant to folks so they get a feel for what we're talking about. You do lunch and dinner, is that right?
Correct. We do lunch and dinner. I mean, lunch is a business lunch, so it's casual business.
Good place for a business lunch.
Correct. And our dinner transformed into a more, you know, more on a finer and a slower pace, you know, more into details. So during the lunch, we have a lot of lunch crowd, and they come down from the building upstairs, which is one Centennial Tower. So that's where we are located, at the bottom of the Centennial Tower. And
so you have to get people in and out faster. And
basically, if you don't get them out within 30 minutes, then you're in trouble.
Yeah. Completely different menus for lunch and dinner?
A little bit different. Yeah, we do completely different. We have a lunch special that started at $8.99.
Oh, so we'll be over.
That's pretty cheap.
That is
for
really
lunch
cheap.
Downtown, that's like, at a fancy restaurant.
That's like only a little bit more than Subway. I'm just saying. That's a really good deal.
Whole meal too. So.
Justin will be able to tell you actually more about the lunch specials.
So yeah, Justin, let's talk about the food. Now, when did you join Thrive?
I started last fall.
Okay.
So about a year.
And what's your background in food and cooking?
I'm from Virginia originally, and my grandmothers were always into food and cooking, so it was always around about food, good times, and like holidays and stuff like that. So I ended up just having a passion for it as well, and ended up going to Johnson & Wales in Charleston, and took an externship at the Breakers Hotel in Florida, and then ended up coming to Atlanta actually to work with Richard Blaze, and did some stuff with him. And then Trimi actually came to a restaurant that I was working at called Eno, and liked the food and stuff, and we kind of met at that point because he had friends and I had friends that were together.
It's a small world, right? This
and,
business?
Yeah, well, opportunity business opened up, and he gave me a call, and we met a few times and kind of clicked. I knew it would work well, so started this. That's pretty much how it all started. As far as the menu there, we really have it's downtown, so we have a diverse and kind of eclectic clientele. So we we have sushi, and then we have the lunch specials with sandwiches, and there's still entrees that go from like southern type food.
Okay.
And that's kind of more my background. So
southern food.
So Thrive is kind of what it was, and then it has influences from me as well, and we have some European kind of techniques and stuff involved.
So if you guys had to give like the, you know, elevator pitch and, you know, a couple sentences, the what the restaurant is, how would you describe it?
Well, in my opinion, I mean, we try to say, you know, it's got Asian influenced with kind of like local Southern kind of ingredients.
Interesting.
In a lot of ways.
Two very different types of cuisine to bring together.
Just because of being downtown Atlanta with all the conventioners from all around the world.
Yeah.
We always try to offer them diversity, you know, and that's the reason why we actually wanted to stay true to the Southern, because we are in the South.
Yeah.
But still did, you know, contemporary American, and we do offer a lot of sushi also in our menu. So.
Which people love, and it is true in this day and age that contemporary American really could be anything, right? I mean,
Correct.
We're so diverse. So what's the best thing on the lunch menu? Just because I'm hungry and I want to hear about it.
Well, you know, the best thing, I think it depends on the best deal we got going on is the $8.99 thing we're talking about. And that is you get choice of either like a sandwich, a half a sandwich, sushi, and then you can get like soup or salad or something like that. And it comes with a drink too. So it's like the whole meal. So that's pretty
that's
popular.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
pretty popular. But I mean, all the sandwiches are really good. And the sushi is really good. I like the entree ones that we have because they're new. We did the menu.
So what? Give me like what's
so
an
we
example?
We have this
of...
one salmon dish that we're doing right now, and we like crisp up the skin, and it's got we call it it's a take on like ratatouille,
yum.
Which is like squash and tomatoes, and we do like a broth almost with like tomato sauce and chicken stock, and then we actually have like this lemon preserve emulsion that we kind of put over top of the salmon.
Sounds like it's pretty healthy too.
So yeah, I mean, you know, I try to cook. It's light. It's summer, getting the summertime, so I want people to leave still having that like an extra one bite, but they know that they had something that's healthy, not too heavy.
Can you tell that I had like a sad little protein bar for breakfast? Because I'm like, please describe the food in great detail because I'm really hungry right now. So from an ambiance standpoint, Trimmy, like what's the, how would you describe the, you know, the feel of the place?
Well, like I said, you know, in the lunchtime is more like a business crowd, you know.
Yeah.
And in a dinner, it would transform into a more lounge feel, you know,
okay.
upbeat. So we actually bring different DJs on the Saturdays and sometimes on the Friday nights. And we kind of transform the entire restaurant into a club lounge style. So.
It's a very, like, contemporary, modern space.
It is very contemporary. It has, when they first opened up, I used to go there, actually, before I started working for Jeff's. So.
You're hanging out at the bar.
That's correct. Don't want to tell that to my boss, though.
Sorry, he probably knows.
So I guess they went after that take of L.A., South Beach / New York, you know, at a time being. I guess those, you know, Atlanta was, you know, just opening up to that style of the restaurants. And I would say that's the feeling Thrive has.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty hip, cool. Pretty. It's like the South Beach section of downtown Atlanta.
We totally need to go. Justin, what about dinner? What's the dinner menu all about?
Well, the dinner is just, you know, a little more of a sit down than from the lunch. We take some sandwiches off and we add a bunch more entrees.
Yeah.
So,
are there some good appetizers? I love appetizers.
There are some great ones. But one of the most famous ones is this calamari dish that we do, and that's something that's been on the menu even before I came on board. But make it with this like tamarind sauce.
Interesting.
And they toss the calamari in it, and then on top of it is like a sweet chili aioli.
Mm.
And people really, really enjoy that dish. They come back for it a whole bunch. That's one of the real popular appetizers.
Yeah.
And then we try to, like I said, we're trying to do like a little bit of, you know, I guess fusion in a way, but not really fusion it. So we have like some pot stickers, and then we put some like pickled haricot vert, some like green beans with that. So it's like a little bit of different things.
Like a little mixture of Asian again with European and Southern and all kind of different flavors. That's interesting.
Well, it's amazing how, you know, the flavors blend in together though. We have our ratings on Open Table on food are always above 4 stars.
Yeah.
And everywhere else. So, I mean, just it's amazing. People that sometimes tend to think, the sushi or Southern, you know, but like the techniques and Justin, you know, uses on creating those dishes is just, you know, like the burst of flavors you get is just amazing.
Now, do you feel like the crowds are very different in the daytime versus the night? Like, because with the business people, you probably see the same people, you know, time after time. But do you get a completely different crowd for dinner?
We do. And, you know, being in downtown Atlanta, you know, it just depends.
What's happening?
What happens and, you know, what concert it is, what convention it is. So we basically can get, you know, from bunch of 14, 15 years old going crazy after Justin Bieber, closing the restaurant and keeping it down to the business crowd, the entire Microsoft Corporation in the house. So.
Right. Or if you get like a Neil Diamond concert, you get all the old folks. Just saying.
That's what we expected today, actually, tonight.
Just saying.
You need to get prepared for that.
Yeah. We won't keep you too long. Don't worry. Do you also, how late do you guys serve food?
Well, we actually, our hours are, you know, through 10 p.m., but sometimes, or you know, Monday through Wednesday to 10 p.m., 10:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. Then Thursdays through Saturdays, we actually, you know, sometimes stay open even till midnight. It just depends how busy we are at the time.
I know one of the things that always frustrates me when I'm traveling on business is you get somewhere
late
and you can't find anything to eat, you know, and you're stuck with like a vending machine or something. And you see this restaurant like right there and they just closed like 20 minutes ago and you just want to like, you know. Because it's always great to be out of town and get to try new restaurants, but then when you just can't get anything to eat. So it's good that you guys are kind of open on the later side.
So some logistics, do people need to make reservations? Is that recommended for dinner?
We do recommend reservations, just, you know, do it to be in downtown, you know.
Right, for lunch too, I would imagine, can be kind of busy.
We do recommend them, but they're not necessary. You know, if we have an open space, we will always sit people down, you know, as quick as possible, but we do recommend them. They can go through Open Table or they can go straight through our website, thriveatl.com, and they will be able to click through to make the reservations.
You guys have to explain something to me. I am one of those people, and I have a background in hospitality, so I sort of know the business, but it's been a long time since I've been in it, not going to lie. But I hate when I go into a restaurant and I don't have a reservation and it's like table for two. I'm not saying a table of 10 or anything crazy. It's two or four. And you see like a bunch of open tables in front of you and they won't seat you. They're like, oh, it's going to be 30 minutes. And you're like, but I see the tables. They're clean. They're right there. Why will you not seat me? Can you explain that?
Well, I don't know how that works in other restaurants, but with us, it never happens usually. You know, if we have tables, we'll, you know, usually sit, you know, customers within 5 minutes time frame. So,
yeah, like I would rather
maybe
be seated.
Maybe they don't have anybody to wait that table.
I guess that's it. But
well,
like,
with us, you know, we don't have enough of waiters. Well, you know, with actually our assistance managers, we actually don't mind even, you know,
getting out there.
The customers ourselves. So,
I mean, I would rather be seated and have somebody come over and at least let me get a drink and sit there and bring me the bread or whatever and just say like, you know what, we're running a little behind, but we'll give you a drink and we'll be right with you or something rather than me waiting in the lobby, you know, getting frustrated. Just saying. I always find that annoying.
I completely agree with you. That's the reason why we don't let that, you know, at Thrive happen, because I don't see, you know, what if there's open tables in a restaurant, why somebody should wait 30 minutes to be seated.
Yeah.
Speaking of service and service philosophy, what types of characteristics do you look for in the people that you hire onto the team? And what would you say is kind of the service essence of the customer experience when they're dining at the restaurant?
Well, being attentive. I look at that, the personality of the servers and the hire also, and the knowledge of the menu and the wine list and the drinks. So those are the things that I look at every time that I hire somebody. Those are the qualities that I always acquire.
And let's talk about drinks.
That's your
You've
favorite.
You've got quite a creative one. Cocktail menu, as well as a really nice wine list. Let's talk about some of these specialty drinks that have been created.
Well, actually, there's probably another one you guys are going to love. We also do happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 p.m. till 7 at $5 small bites, $5 cocktails.
That's a good time for us, too. Four is good for drinks.
So, and we have two different cocktails for each day that we offer at $5. And then they change. And the apps, we have five different apps. So we call it Five at Thrive. So there's five different apps for $5 and then two drinks for each
day.
That's
a really good deal.
That is a good deal. Are there specialty drinks? Like, is there a drink that Thrive is kind of known for? Or
actually, we had a drink for about, if you guys remember when the tornado happened downtown.
Oh, yeah.
So
sure.
We just took the drink off the menu. That was our specialty one, but we just thought we changed it a little bit. We took it off about 2 months ago.
Maybe people don't remember as much.
We called it Thrive Twister because it actually, when tornado came in, it ripped off the front door of the restaurant.
Oh, wow.
So we actually had that drink ever since then until about 2 months ago.
That's great.
What was in it? Do you remember? Am I putting you on the spot?
Actually, it was tequila, vodka, rum.
Oh, jeez.
It was our...
That'll twist you, all right.
Yeah.
it was our twist on actually Long Island iced tea.
Gotcha.
Know, just a little bit more on the fancier way side. So.
I could not drink that. You would have to put me in a wheelbarrow and bring me back here.
As far as drinks menu, we actually work in, you know, as with a lot of, you know, ingredients that we make in the house, infusions right now.
Oh,
so.
Yummy.
We're basically, you know, trying to take the sugars out instead of, you know, putting the agaves, you know, things, you know, that, you know, it's healthier for people. Organic vodkas, small batch tequilas than we have infused in the house right now. So,
do you get less of a hangover when you drink that kind of stuff? These are my critical personal issues, clearly.
I think so. Yeah. I actually do think so. Because
yeah.
it matters
if you drink
what goes
better
in. Because
quality
what
is
like when it's fake sugars in a drink, you know, it's you're going to, you know, end up having a greater hangover.
Yeah.
Versus when you have something healthy inside the drink. So.
Yeah, I swear, if I drink some of that cheap stuff, I have a hangover like that night. Like an hour after I drink it, I have a headache. And like I'm ready to go home. I'm done. So I always try to pick like the healthier, more interesting drinks just because it seems like it should be better. But I don't have any scientific evidence to back that up.
Yeah, but actually I do.
Mind over matter.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe it's all psychosomatic.
No, that's awesome with using agave for sweeteners because that's one of the reasons why I never drink like chick
fruity drinks.
Or right, fruity girl beverages because they're usually loaded with sugar.
Right.
You can actually like feel the sugar rush.
Yeah.
Just as much as the alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I usually stick to the wine. So how's the wine list?
The wine list is pretty extensive, actually. I mean, I have a little bit of everything, basically, going from Chile to from South America to Italy to French and then American wines. So I have anywhere bottles from $30, $40 to $700-$800 bottles.
Oh, my goodness.
So I have a little bit for everybody.
Wow.
What kind of wine
from the beginners.
Are you supposed to drink with sushi?
White. For sure. It depends. Like, we have some of the spicy sushi rolls that we have. You know, I recommend, you know, perhaps, you know, going into something more like, you know, Chardonnay if you want to, you know. But most of the time, you know, I recommend, like, Sauvignon Blancs or Gavi di Gavi, more like Italian whites because they're
lighter.
Very light and they're very acidy, so they complement the sushi very well.
Oh.
Or some sake.
Or some sake.
Good point.
Very nice.
Okay, can we talk dessert now? Because I need to hear about the desserts. What are my dessert options if I come over there?
Well, the desserts, we have three right now on the menu, and we're in the process of updating our dessert menu. The three that we have, one is like a liquid chocolate.
Oh, geez.
And it's
like a hot chocolate?
It's like cake, almost, but not like cake texture. And when you cut into it, it kind of oozes
gooey.
Out.
Yeah.
Ooh,
serve
that
like
with some like vanilla bean ice cream.
Mm.
And then another one we have, it's called apple fritters, and you take like these Fuji apples and we kind of like grate them with cream cheese and brown sugar and then batter them and kind of fry them and serve with like caramel sauce.
It's really healthy. Sounds really healthy.
It seems like it because it's apples and stuff, so you can tell yourself that.
Fried, but whatever. Yeah, that's right. It's got fruit in it, so it's all good.
The other one's a traditional like creme brulee.
Oh, yummy.
Orange in there and some Grand Marnier and stuff.
So now, what's your favorite thing to prepare? Like, what do you love to cook?
I really like to cook, I like to sear fish.
You do?
I worked some fish stations at some really high-end restaurants, and that was something that was a passion always. So, and that's one of the big things we do at the restaurant is fish, so.
Yeah. I feel like that's one of the things people are less confident about at home, cooking fish. Do you agree?
Yeah, because they don't.
It's kind of delicate, so it's easy to screw it up if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Why is that? Is it just that we just don't do it enough, I guess, and we don't really know?
I think people growing up.
Yeah, Justin wants a secret.
Like, you grow up with not, like, your parents really aren't making
baked chicken.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Spaghetti and meatballs.
It's not a home type thing. So I think when you get into the restaurant, it is a degree of difficulty to do properly.
Right.
That's why I think it's a, you know, as well as cooking meats to temperature, I mean, it's all difficult. I mean, if you don't know what you're doing, kind of what to look for.
Yeah, there are things that are just so much better at a restaurant for whatever reason. No matter how good of a cook you are at home, I don't know, there's just some things that just come out better. A restaurant kitchen, I guess, you know,
well,
the
chef. When you have chefs and, you know, they actually, you know, went to school and got, you know,
right.
The, you know, classical,
you know exactly how to do
training,
it. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it makes a huge difference.
I love to cook at home, but, you know, I always, you know, love his food more than my own. So.
Right.
It seems daunting, but it's not. Once you do it a few times, just a little practice and you kind of figure it out. It's not. It's the same rule applies for most everything. Hot pan, oil, put the protein in and or whatever, let it go and you just kind of like feel for it.
You should teach a little cooking class at the restaurant, perhaps.
Good idea.
I mean, that would be a fun event, right?
Yeah.
A little and cooking demonstration.
Can host with me on Sundays.
There you go.
That works.
There you go. We could bring in some cameras, put it on YouTube. Just saying.
That sounds good.
So speaking of fun events, you do have a cool party space in addition to just the tables, dining area. People can, like, rent the room or do you do a lot of groups, group
well,
business?
We do a lot of group business. we don't have any private dining room, I mean private rooms whatsoever. The entire restaurant is open. We have a lounge which is semi-private that we use, but my maximum capacity is 214 in a restaurant. But a lot of times if I have a group that requires 450 people for a certain amount of hours or less, we'll just, you know, do the entire restaurant
You'll
private
host
for them,
the party we'll host in the whole party. Restaurant.
Correct.
That's pretty awesome. And a lot of stuff downtown. You guys, because you're right next to Phillips Arena, you're kind of involved with a lot of what goes on in the heart of the city. Do you find that you have, like, a real pulse on what's taking place right there in Phillips Arena and in the downtown scene? You're seeing that in the day-to-day business?
We do. We see it. And especially with the Hawks playing, you know, we actually know always, you know, get a lot of, you know, people, you know, coming through and going to the Hawks, and they stop by at Thrive. We actually had a business partnership with them last year. Then we were offering, you know, the season ticket holders a percentage off of our meals at Thrive. And so we actually saw, you know, the vibe, you know, of the sports fans a bit more than I anticipated in Atlanta, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's not a ton of
I'm making faces.
Professional sports like mayhem as in some other downtown cities.
That's
but
true.
If it is going to happen, that's right where it will be.
Right.
So we just need a couple more winning teams out there. People will have more reason to go out and party after the game.
That's right. You don't want them when they're all sad and depressed. Well, I guess you do want them because then they'll just drink a lot. So that's still okay.
Either way, it works for us.
That's right. Fine. So what's the bar scene like there? You said it turns into kind of a loungy.
It turns into the loungy.
So is the bar area big or how?
It's a pretty good sized bar area. You comfortably you can have about 70, 80 people, you know, roaming around on the bar and lounge area. And the later it gets, you know, the more clubby it turns into. So like from 4 to 7, you're going to have more of a business people, you know, having that drink, you know, and talking
after
business,
work.
After work, mixer. And on the Fridays and Saturdays, when we actually bring in DJs, past around, you know, 10 p.m., 11, we actually start, you know, getting more of a club feel and people actually start dancing. And we turn on disco lights and LEDs and the whole restaurant basically transform into a club. So
wow.
That sounds pretty awesome.
I haven't really partied downtown. I wonder if I should try that.
You definitely should.
I don't know. It's like my bedtime's at like 10, so I'll have to like gear up for it. Yeah. I'll have to sleep in that morning and, you know.
No. Hit happy hour, stay up for one or two dances. And
I could,
back.
I guess I could do that. If I was already out drinking, I'd just hang out.
I mean, when Thrive opened up, it made top 100 Atlanta and Jezebel magazine restaurants. I believe it was even 27th or 32nd. I'm not exactly quite sure. I have to look back into that because I left the paperwork.
Yeah.
So,
well,
sorry.
Is...
And then top 100 clubs in the United States, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So...
Now, have you guys seen, well, I guess you more, because Justin, you've only been there for a year, but over the past 4 years, have you seen changes because of the economy in terms of, you know, what people want or how many people are coming in or any of those kind of things?
We actually did, you know, because for some, you know, being downtown and depending a lot on the convention business also, it did, you know, we saw really big changes when the economy went down, and I guess the corporations, you know, weren't forwarding the AMAXs anymore to the employees as much.
Right.
We actually, you know, and conventionees weren't coming in town. We did see a lot of changes with us. You know, our business dropped down quite a bit. But, you know, with the economy starting to look better, you know, from last year, we're seeing the climb back up. So.
Right. This year, the convention business has kind of picked back up.
Yeah. So did you guys have to do anything to try to bring more people in or to change – you know, the way things were.
We did. I mean, we worked with a bunch of local, you know, Scott Mobb started out of Atlanta.
Sure.
So we actually worked with Scott Mobb last year for a while. And then we tried Living Social and Groupon, you know, just trying to bring in locals, you know.
Yeah.
For the time being.
I would love to hear about that. Because, I mean, you know, as a customer, I know all about that from the consumer side, of course. And I do use some of those things. But how was that as a business? Was it a good thing for you guys? Was there a balance of how much of that you want to do or...
There's a fine point in the balance when you're talking about things like that. You know, we did that, you know, trying to, you know, to let locals know only we're still here, and it worked from that standpoint of view. So
yeah,
for us,
so it's good to kind of bring your presence up again in people's minds, but then you're weighing the balance of the money of you're getting less money for your product, obviously.
Correct. So you know, you can only do that once in a while. You know, only for like a short period of time, because if you keep on running it too long, then you know you'll
lose
up,
money
you know, closing the doors. So
right, you know, it's interesting. there's a pizza place that opened up right across the street from where I live in Midtown. And I've been looking at it for, I don't know, I guess it's been open, I don't know, maybe close to a year or something. And we didn't go there. Like, I just, you know, I saw it and I kept thinking, I need to try it. And I just didn't do it, you know. And they did a scout mob for a free slice of pizza. And I was like, free? I can do free. So I went like 2 nights ago and I got my free slice of pizza, but we also got a salad and drinks and whatever. And for them, a slice of pizza is like, you know, retail price, $2.25 or something. So they weren't giving away a whole lot by doing that. But they got me to come in and I'll go back because it was actually really delicious. So I guess it is just, I wonder about companies and I, you know.
But that's the idea. I know the restaurants, when they do that, they basically, do that, trying, to gain more customers, locals, such
right.
as, you know.
Right.
Right.
Have the people that
course.
Haven't come in yet but have been meaning to try it, give them an excuse to give
right.
it a go.
Right. So is it something that you guys would do again or it just depends?
It all depends. We haven't really decided anything on.
But right now you don't feel like you need to. Sorry.
No, we don't need to. Plus, everything is going more towards social media right now, advertisement and everything else. Facebook,
yeah.
Twitter, all that. So we're kind of more focusing on that.
Isn't that terrible too? That's the other side of it, is then once you do get enough of a following, if you want to do a discount, it's sort of cheaper to just do it yourself to your followers and to sort of, rather than going through one of those companies, to just sort of say, hey, you know, for our regulars, come back and see us. Here's a little incentive or something.
Correct. We actually have VIP cards that we give out to regulars and they come in. And it's a good incentive. Every time they come in, they actually get 10% off their check.
Yeah.
And they collect points.
Right.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
I like points.
So for every dollar, they collect a point. And when they reach a certain amount of the points, and they get, they start to get from $25 to $50 to $100 off the bill. So
yeah,
it's an amazing incentive. I have a lot of regulars who come in and they love it.
I'm a total sucker for points.
Like, I don't know what I'll win with that, but
I'm a sucker for VIP. Like, I like being identified
as a special. It's
the
funny
VIP
that you,
in the room.
No, it's so funny that you say that, because one of the things I love about a good restaurant is when they do remember you when you come back in, and maybe not your name, but they clearly recognize your face and they welcome you back. Oh, good to see you again. You know, how have you been? Whatever. I love that. When I was living out in the suburbs, I was there at the same place for, 10 years or whatever, and I was going to the same place for breakfast periodically, and they knew me, they knew my daughter, they knew, and I love that. So I know that probably harder in an area where it's conventioners and transient people, but it's nice when that happens, don't you think?
It is. And on our lunch side of it, actually, we have about probably half of the house, and they don't even need the menus anymore. My servers already know what to send to the table.
Right.
So
see, that's exactly what we're talking
name,
about.
And they actually know their favorite tables. So
yeah.
A lot of times, a lot of people from upstairs, they come down, I'll just tell them, go to your table. Because
yeah.
they already know that, that's the table they want, unless it was taken by someone else.
But. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. That's good that you guys can do that. I was a waitress in college, and I was always like that. I was good. I had a pretty good memory for that stuff. So I was always like, oh, you want this today? Or was it this? If they had two different things or whatever, the customers love that. Eat it up.
Yeah. It sounds like you've got a great group of regular customers and fans, and you guys are active on social media as well.
Who's responsible for that? Do you have to do that? Is that your job?
I try a little bit more than...
Justin's like, I don't
have
to do
that. Do you have a sales and marketing director?
Even we are a small business, we have a corporate, and actually we have a project manager at the corporate office, and she tries to take care of that end of it. So, but me and her stay in contact at all times, because a lot of times we do different specials, and I'll even email her like, can we do the special today? And then she'll try to, blast it off to our email database or even on social media. So.
Nice. It's a good way to keep people posted on events or remind them of what's coming up and what's going on. Are there any upcoming events that are around the corner outside of what we've...
Event-wise... I don't think there's anything really lined up as far as we have put the same person that's doing some stuff with our website, and we've been doing this monthly dish, focus on one dish. Last month we did a tuna dish, and this month we did this watermelon salad dish with this lime aioli and arugula and feta cheese, and that's been posted on there. So we're going to every month do a new dish and kind of feature that one. So.
Nice.
On our website. So.
Yeah. So, Justin, obviously the menu is fixed but also variable. What kinds of, when you look at, hey, how do we add some changes, mix it up a little bit, how often do you invent new dishes or relook at the menu?
Well, we try to do a seasonal, so at least a couple times
Because watermelon salad really summer. Only sounds like a good idea from about
we just launched it like
right,
2 weeks
May
ago.
To September.
Yeah, we definitely change it, and then we see what's selling with that one change, initial change. We change like almost the whole menu, and then we'll do dishes here and there, tweak, and if something's not as popular, we'll replace it with something that we think might sell better.
So you're kind of always looking at ways to improve it and
every day we try
match
to make sure
what people are wanting.
Exactly. And just be consistent and, you know, like you said earlier about being like comforting with what they have, trying to like get that, you know, make people comfortable.
Are you guys doing anything with local, like buying local food? Is that part of your philosophy or not?
I have a couple of farmers that we use. Liz Porter, she's a friend of mine and from a lot of different places we've used her. And she's starting to bring us heirloom tomatoes.
Nice.
We get our grits from her and squash. We're getting that. We're going to get that stuff from her.
Very
and,
cool.
And like farmers markets and stuff like that.
I know it's just really popular right now with people to sort of know that the food is as local as it can be. I mean,
we that's what we do. We try to do our best. We're trying to bring everything we can local as much as we can in the restaurant. But, you know, not everything grows in Georgia. So
no.
Sometimes, you know, we
right.
have, you know.
No, I don't think it's possible really to do it 100%, but, you know,
correct.
I think people just want to know that you're making the effort to do it. You know what I mean?
Correct. Well, I mean, the whole idea behind it is, you know, trying, you know, to, you know, leave as less as carbon footprint as we can, you
right.
know, in the kitchen side. And on the back side, you know, I changed our grease trap companies and they come and clean our grease trap and collect in all the restaurants. It's actually, we have a local company that everything they collect, they turn into a biofuel. So we basically leave no carbon footprints on that end whatsoever.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Right. It's funny. It's like two times in one day
we're
talking about grease traps
again.
Yeah. We were just talking on our earlier show. We were talking about a company that's just an upstart that has invented this new thing for grease traps where it monitors it in real time and like can warn you if it's going to have any problems. It's pretty cool. Kind of because the guy was saying how outdated that technology is. Like the grease trap technology is like 120 years old and it's just been the same thing people are using ongoing.
It is. I would say it is outdated also, but you know, with all the new companies coming out now, you know, and doing everything, you know,
they're modernizing
and they
it.
Monitor it, you know, basically once, you know, on a monthly basis. You
yeah.
know, they have employees and come out there and check the grease traps and see if they need to, you know, be
right.
emptied out or can they wait a little bit longer. And then once they come and grab all the oils from the kitchen, then we use. And all the way in the grease trap, and they combine all that and turn into a biofuel.
That's pretty wild.
I know
a lot of smart people out there thinking about things like I would never even want to think about. So it's good that they're doing it.
That's awesome.
That's why
Thrive,
I haven't changed.
Yeah,
Thrive has won a lot of awards and gotten a lot of recognition for this, you know, a unique restaurant concept, excellent food, the ambiance, all of this. What are your thoughts on what's going on right now in the Atlanta restaurant scene? I mean, restaurants are a big part of what Atlanta has to offer. And but I think we've always been kind of trying to make our mark and show that we're just as good on the restaurant scene as like a New York or a Chicago. It's a pretty tight community. So do you feel like we're heading in the right direction with more and more innovative chefs and great restaurants here in Atlanta?
Personally, I definitely think that every day our scene is getting better and better. And I would probably put our top five restaurants up against any other city's top five. I mean, honestly, we just don't have that many. I think Atlanta is more of a concept-driven city. People kind of want to go out more for an idea of a restaurant instead of like chef driven. And, you know, we're kind of the same way a little bit like with concept driven, you know, because that's going to appeal to more of the masses in Atlanta. I mean, there are some big name chefs, but mostly, like I said, concept driven. So
interesting. I can see that.
I mean, I do see Atlanta, you know, competing with any other city personally. What I see is like, you know, I mean, what's popular in New York and Chicago, it might not work in Atlanta as much. It's just because in the South, you know, the dishes always were created a little bit different. So people have a different idea when it comes to tasting different dishes versus in the North.
Right, which is neat that, I mean, even though it's very modern and contemporary type food that has some of that, like the classic Southern feel to it as well, like a pan-seared fish or that kind of.
I mean, if you have a restaurant in the South, you have to have sweet tea and a fried green tomatoes.
That's true.
It's just a and requirement.
Grits. You have to have grits.
We got all that.
Yeah. It's funny. It is interesting how different food is regionally. I mean, there's obviously, because it's the U.S., there's things that you can get that are the same everywhere, but there's definitely a huge difference regionally in the quality even of what you can get in the kind of restaurants. And Atlanta is actually pretty good in terms of unique and interesting restaurants, I think, don't you? I mean, I think there's a lot going on here. I was in the Midwest on business a couple of years ago, and it was dreadful. I mean, even like they took us to like their best restaurants. It was kind of disgusting. I was like, this is it. This is all you guys have to offer.
30-year-old steakhouse.
Or... It's just like, yeah, it was just, ugh, yeesh.
We got it going on in the South. The ingredients and stuff like that is definitely, as far as cuisine, I mean, what do we really have in the United States? There's Southern cuisine. And
yeah.
What else do you really have?
No, you're right.
It's not Florida and South. They didn't really, that's not the South. You know, it's
true.
Like South Carolina, even like, I'll say Virginia because I'm from Virginia, but. You know, we have it's like Southern food. That's where it's rooted from.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of other types of cuisine in the U.S. You know,
yeah, that's a good point.
Meat,
I mean, there,
potatoes doesn't really count. You know?
No, right. And there, all the other sort of specialties are not American.
Other countries.
They're right.
Like
Italian.
Yeah, like
right, like
tons
the pizza
of,
place.
Right. There's tons of great food in the Northeast, but there's not like, you don't think of Northeastern food.
I would say like New Orleans, you have like New a different
Orleans,
like, Creole
point.
Type stuff.
Yes.
And that's what's. It's so great to stay true to your region and
yeah.
and the type of cooking that you know came from that and has been done for tradition, you know, years, like many years, and just, you know, the type of food they have here and the type of ingredients, you can't get them anywhere else. It doesn't make sense to cook Southern food in, you know, Nebraska. It doesn't work.
Right, or they're just trying to fake it, sort of.
Right.
It's not the same.
It won't
yeah.
sell there because people come here for that, you know.
Right.
And you have a low country too, Charleston, and that's where I was before.
Yeah.
And all that is the way that they're doing their food is just, you know, even like shrimp and grits is still, that's where you get it, you know?
Yeah. Now, I'm totally going to ask a random question just because I'm thinking so much about food right now. So hungry. But last week I had a guy on a different podcast that I do that wrote it's a James Beard Award winner. And he wrote a book about a cookbook, but for all truck food. Recipes. Like he went all over the country to all the trucks, food trucks, and
oh, right,
took
yeah.
the best recipes. I could not spit that out. Sorry. But what do you think of all that happening, all that food truck stuff going on, like with the gourmet stuff coming out of trucks? Any thoughts about that?
Well, it's funny you say that because I was actually like a couple years ago thinking about what a great concept that was. And it wasn't even that big. And then all of a sudden it exploded.
It's huge.
And it's really interesting. We, you know, that we can – in this day and age, and there's so much things going on that we can still kind of invent new things, and still things it's not done, you know, things are still happening every day, and
yeah,
and so I think it's a different anything that can add to the scene that can make it better is great, you know.
Yeah, is that something that you guys would ever consider doing out of the restaurant? That'd be kind of a cool thing if you had a Thrive truck or cart or something for events. That'd be cool. Just saying. Not like, you know.
I've never seen a sushi truck, but that might be an idea.
Well, you know, I was asking the guy because, you know, he's obviously a big foodie and knows what he's talking about. And I said, like, is there anything that you can't do out of a truck? And he's like, not really. I mean, it's just smaller. But you can get all the equipment in there that you could have anywhere. So it's really just a matter of space and creativity. So, yeah, you're right. I don't know how.
Sure, the sky's the limit with that. You know?
Yeah. It's quite interesting.
Probably should put Thrive in a truck, we probably will need to have an 18-wheeler. That's
well, obviously, you would do a limited version. You know, you would do specialty items that wouldn't necessarily be all the offerings that you have at the restaurant, obviously.
Because,
but...
with the, you know, our menu being so diverse and so big, it just requires so much,
yeah.
so much equipment in the kitchen.
It is. I mean, you could eat lunch and dinner there on the same day and
have something completely
different.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
What inspires you guys about working at Thrive as you look towards the future and great summer that we've got ahead of us? What are you most excited about?
Well, on a day-to-day basis, you know, I get inspired by the seasons and also just getting to work and trying to do things better than they did before. You know, Truman's always got things that we need to try to improve on, and I try to talk with him, so we pretty much communicate on a day-to-day basis on trying to you know, progress. So everything I'm in with food and everything is progression, so that's the style of our cooking is progressive American too, so we try to you know, just better ourselves on a daily basis.
Nice.
Well, we're not a big corporate. We're a small-owned, family-owned restaurant. So that's, to me, it's a big deal, you know, because that's the only one in downtown Atlanta.
Absolutely.
So everything else is corporate.
That's huge. That's important. I'm glad you brought that up.
All of our staff is a very small. It's almost like a small family, I would say, that we are, you know. I meet with my boss, with the owner, 2 to 3 times a week, and we have a great relationship also with Justin. And with that being said, it just makes us, you know, strive more to do better with a small restaurant downtown. And trying to tell people when they come in the city that, hey, we are small, we are privately owned, and we've been here for 5 years, and we tend to say another plenty more.
Yeah. Forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Right. It definitely does make a difference, and it is all about people at the end of the day and choosing the right people to work with and then really gelling with those people, their creative energy, and continuing to progress forward with those inspiring ideas. And yeah, we are sorry that Jeff Safari was unable to join us this morning.
He didn't know what he was going to be missing.
I know. If he had known all the good times we would be having on the show. But it is a busy business. It's a industry that's constantly changing, and you're constantly kind of adapting to what's going on and what the customers are demanding and what's necessary to run the business. So you probably have to remain pretty flexible in your mindset, even though you know what you're trying to achieve. You probably have to roll with the punches as well, I would imagine.
Correct. I mean, it's the only industry out of all the industries that you actually have to adapt almost into a day-to-day or week-to-week basis. It's just because food is, I see it more as a form of art. And every time somebody, like taste buds change, on people, you know,
right.
And with the seasons and a lot of times, you know, with different vegetables coming out, you know, sometimes they, you know, they're inventing these new hotter peppers, you know, by, you know, crossing two of them.
That's always so interesting to me when some new food takes off, like a particular ingredient that no one cared about before, and all of a sudden it becomes a huge trend. So interesting. But you guys have to stay up with that all the time.
That's when Justin has to come in and, you know, create all the dishes then it's necessary, you know, with the new ingredients and they are there or whatever is, you know, basically, you know, then people are acquiring for that time.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, if you're just tuning in, we are talking about the awesome restaurant Thrive Food, Drink, and Lounge at Marietta Street. The address is 101. How can you forget that? 101 Marietta Street, right in the middle of downtown Atlanta. And we're talking with Trimmy Doughty, the general manager there, as well as Justin Cox, the chef.
And you guys, what's the website address for the restaurant?
ThriveATL.com.
Okay. And for reservations, should people go there or should they call?
They can go there, they can call, or they can go through Open Table. So We're pretty flexible. They can, whichever way is easier for the customers to do it, they can.
Do you want to give the phone number? Do you know it?
The phone number is 404-389-1000.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Even I can remember that.
So we'll race you to the phone because Dana and I are about to make our reservation.
Yeah, my mouth is watering for the watermelon feta yumminess.
Thanks so much, guys, for coming in and whetting our appetite and telling us all about the menu and the drink specials. We'll definitely be seeing you soon for happy hour. And once again, that website is thriveatl.com. And this is Elizabeth Gordon for Southern Hospitality.
And for Dana Barrett.
Your dynamic duo. We wish you all great food and good times, and we will talk to you soon.